End of day 208, Monday night, by Multi Posen.
Okay, so since I'm Shlomo Weisbart. So a little bit about Arab Aminim, seeing as we've got a whole box here.
Already.
So the first thing to know is when you look for an Esrog, it's got to be a proper Esrog. And they're always Murkov, they always used to graft them. It's very hard to know if an Esrog is grafted or not, because they do a very good job. Mishpura brings down from the Achronim different simonim to tell, but they've bypassed that too. And there's a big money-making business. Someone just told me on the way here, I met someone outside, told me he has an Esrog tree. So I didn't know money grows on trees. He has a money tree. So that's why they've worked it down to a science, how to professionally graft them, which is almost impossible to know. To the point, even the Mishpura 100 years ago writes from the Chasam Sofer, who was more than 100 years ago, that you need to have really Masir. It's just like we know there's loads of birds that are kosher. Loads of birds are kosher. We don't eat very many birds at all. Hardly any birds we eat. Because we don't have a Masir. It's a sotu and estro. Even if you know it's kosher, it may not be enough. You need the Masir. So really an estro has to date back to someone or something reliable. Different Esrogim, you've got Moroccan and Taman and Yanam and Chazanish, all different Esrogim. Each one's got its complications. Is it properly Morkov? Is it not? As soon as they're up here in town, he said, I buy one of every one. I shake them all, I don't know. I don't know, I can't make a bracha unless I know, and I don't know. So he says he buys one of each. Okay. So the first thing to know is it's a proper authentic Esrog. And that's what people make a lot of fuss about. The Chashirim, where does it come from? He's like, which Esrog is it? Well, which Esrog is it? It's a yellow Esrog, what do you want me to say? You know, which Masir does it have to guarantee and ensure that, say, even if it's got an Hechsha, you have to know what sort of Hechsha is it? Because it's not always that simple. And you got a shadow of a bracha, a shadow of the mitzvah. No, Issa, so it's the bracha of Tala potentially. But you want to do the mitzvah properly, spend that kind of money, at least make sure to ensure there's Taka and Esrog, it's a genuine Esrog, which is hard to know. The only thing is it's going to be a Hechsha. There's certain different Malchim. Morocco is such a backwards country, seeing as all those people of that origin are quite backwards, as we know. They have pages and they explode. Funny things happen to these people. So they never had the technology to graft. So that's what they rely on in Morocco, Taim and similar. The Western world, for sure, they had the problems. So they've got the Chaznish Esrog. Chaznish is not. Different Malchim. Everyone's got its story. The Anavon, where that came from. They have now Chaznish, Moroccan Chaznish. They take each one and grow it in the other country. You always have to follow it back. You follow the trail to work out where it originated from and how authentic it is. When it comes to an Esrog, people look for two things, and both those things are, I don't know what to call them. They are very minimal in the ladder of importance. It's almost zero. But it's not mamash zero. That's we want a giddle and a gartel, the two gimels. Now, a giddle and a gartel is not mentioned anywhere in halacha b'chlal. Maybe it's a keli on veil. Okay, every message should be nice. I've never seen people are ferociously opening back boxes of matzahs and matzahs, looking for the one with the most beautiful matzah. So you get a nice one. Especially when you say, do you know what? I found these matzahs. They come from, I don't want to say which heksha, but they look gorgeous. Whereas these ones are best heksha. You look for the most kosher, and once you're the most kosher, for sure you get the nicest. But someone comes along and says, look for a nice Esrog. If all the Esrogim were perfectly kosher, and the only shayla is nice, great. But seeing that that's certainly not the case. So why would you want to compromise what's kosher for what looks good? There's much more to it. You don't buy a car by the color on a black car. What's the engine? No engine, just black. It doesn't make sense. You get the car you want, the model, the style of that, and if it's the colour you want, great. If it's not the colour you want, too bad. But you don't market something by externalities. So what are you looking for Esrog to check its kosher? The first thing is any discoloration. Classically, there's the black dots. Everyone knows about black dots, that's the number one. But it's not only black, it could be white. Any discoloration on the Esrog. Discoloration on the Esrog, we split the Esrog into two. Here's our Esrog, beautiful. So you've got here the choytim where it starts sloping. You know, if you've got one, we'll do a live demonstration. And simple one, one more checked afterwards. It's not funny. So here we have, oh, beautiful. Ah. Hazayashim. So the Chayitim here is very, very clear. The Chayitim is the slanting bit, the nose, the nice Jewish nose that we all have. Here's the Chayitim. On the Chayitim is the most important part of the Esrog. One black dot makes it possible. Now you go to any shop tonight and have a look around, you'll see plenty of Esrogim which are going to be according to this possible. So how do they sell it? It's a $1 million question. Sometimes he bought an Esrog to the Rav, no, possible. Went back to the Mike and said, where did I put it? He was looking for the pink bin, you know, what is it on the table? He goes, then someone might buy it. So yeah, I hope so. What does that mean? So there's only, I'm not going to hold it too long until we need it again because I want it to get ruined. There's only two ways to work around the black dot. You either have to say it's not black. I hope it's not racist. You have to say it's brown, it's choco-moco, it's not really, then it'll be okay. But, you know, the Mocha say, you think it's black. He thinks it's grey. Could be. And the other has it, it's not Nirulainan. Nirulainan means it's got to be visible. If you take a magnifying glass, and look, I saw it in my house 2 nights ago, magnifying glass like this, goes, look, I found something, that's fine. Because I can see it clearly with the magnifying glass. So I told him that if you would find the Sheretz on your apple with a magnifying glass, and without the magnifying glass, you cannot see anything. Like you see it, but you can't see anything. You're allowed to eat that. No problem. Eat it.
Even if you know it's
a
Sheretz.
Even if you know it's a Sheretz. The bar is human eye. I mean, unless you're choishes, maybe your eyes is not good. No human can see it. Anything below the human eye does not exist in halacha. It's just not there. It could be the mara, it could be the nesrik, it could be the sheretz. It's not there. And a lot of times, by maras, they have a magnifying glass, they look at it, say, wow, and then, perfectly okay. It's got to be by the human eye. So this person's black dot was not by the human eye. It was beyond that. I had a very powerful glass, and with that, it was a struggle to see it. So I said, no problem. He says, what do I do with this Esrog? He's got a black dot. So you put it back in the box, you pay the moicha, and have a good yontif. It's perfectly kosher. Problem is, many shops, many Esrogim, you walk up and down, I did tonight, shops like this, you walk around fast, you see many of them have interesting things on the top. Now, to say it's black, it's a bit hard, but if you've got the choice before yontif, pick another one. Anything's going to be, he's got a little dot here, I could see. I don't know if it's black. Now, how do you look at it? So, okay, you go to the Mishabura, the Pashtas, call it at regular distance, you turn around at regular speed, you have a quick glance. Someone says to me a good line. Anything you don't find the first time doesn't exist. Because the second time, when you're at home, you're comfortable, you sit back on your chair, ooh, you find all sorts of exciting things. So, you didn't notice it the first time. Why? Because it's too small. So, the real firmers are worried, but the Ikadin, that's kosher. So, you turn around at regular speed, we're looking at the Choytim, any discoloration. Now, why do you say black? Because black's the most common. Green is ready Mara Esrog, so it could be not a problem. Yellow bits are usually also the colour of the Esrog. White is very not common. And so black is just the most common one you're going to find. You spin around at regular speed. Like I said, there is another Shaila. What din's the pitam have? You see the Chaitim, and here's the round pitam. It used to be, till about 30 years ago, or a bit less, most pitams were wood. If you remember back, all pitams were a wooden piece. The last 30 years it's changed. With different techniques and different things, and it's become fleshy. It's like part of the answer is yellow and green. The shayla is, what does that have? What halacha is that? All halacha, you have a pitam falling off, how much fell off. That could be by a wooden pitam. But these may be worse, because it's part of the answer. Kapachayim already raises this, going back also 100 years. Rabbi Yashik discusses it. So that's not so simple. So this one here is tackled on the dad, on the piece, the pitam, the bottom part of the pitam. So it's not on the chaytim. The chaytim is beautiful and clean, but shayla's what color is it? A magnifying glass. Why do you have magnifying glasses there? What for? Because sometimes you look. I had once a black dot. It's what made me buy my. I had a magnifying glass, but a cheap one. These good ones cost £100 and up. And I thought, no, they're a waste of money. I found a black dot. Anyway, I showed it to Rob. He pulled out his magnifying glass, which is the expensive type, and he said, "Look at it again." I looked at it, and you see a little black dot with little legs coming out. A little insect. Now, if you take this and stick it on the Esrog, that's not a problem. The blue dot, that's not a problem, because you just pull it back off. So you don't have to pull it, because leave on, hold on to like this, shake your look, no problem. So this little insect sat on my Esrog, and he was my friend. We met every morning, I wished him a good yontif, he was happy, I was happy, everyone was good. No problem, he came comfortable. I had a black dot, it's not a black dot. It's a foreign matter that's attached itself. And yeah, about that, if you get rid of it, great, make it beautiful. Yeah, but it was too small. It was so tiny, and they didn't want to mess with it. It sat there, we became friends. But the good thing is, that's why you use a magnifying glass. To spot the problem. Sometimes you look at a magnifying glass, has it tonight in the shop, look at it, there's a bit of dirt. Got a little earbud, you'd be very careful how you do it. A little rub, off it went. So it does help to assist you. But if you find something in the back with a magnifying glass, it's fine, it's not a problem. But that's the first thing to look at, a black dot. What about the rest of the Esrog? So the Chayyim says one black dot, one, just one. Someone says to me, yeah, it's only one. Yeah, that's the problem, you know, just one. Yeah. What about the main body of the Asherah? The main body of the Asherah has got to be Roif. Now what means Roif? Well, I should have a whole thing black, it makes sense. The answer is, you've got to look at Roif and be clean. Now, when you look at the Asherah, you think, and I think, that we're looking at 50%, it's 2D. It's 3D, but we're looking flat. Now that's not true. The human eye bends slightly. You and me, we're all looking at 51%+ of the Asherah. I don't know the exact amount, just over half the Asherah we're looking at. Because the eye sort of bends around, so I can see till about there, you can see till about there, so we can see over half. To make sure you got Roif, I'm looking at Roif, whatever you do, I'm always looking at Roif. If I find at one point now, no black dots, I've cleared it. Roif is clean. But if I turn and I see black dot, I can't get a single sight without it, that means you haven't got Roif clean. Yeah, but if you can't, there's one there, my two fingers are black dots.
Oh, I see.
So now I can never escape. Yes, I can never escape it. Yeah. So I can never escape. It's two together, you're fine. So like this, I can never escape it. Then you've got a Roif problem. Because most of it, it's always got black dot. Eyes one, yeah, but it's not really one, it's two. So that's what you're looking at. Now that's much less common. Because to have them mamash azay, where you're going to see on both sides. So it's near the bottom, you're a lot safer. I hope you just keep turning and check. But the Chayitim, that's why people look at the Chayitim a long time. The Chayitim is the most important part of the Esrog. Any discoloration there, you're out. Possible. I showed the guy once, he said to me, I said, black dot. Because it's a beautiful Esrog. It could be. Doesn't help you. Use it for jam. Doesn't help, you know. Want the black dot.
Why is the black dot worse than the brown dot?
Because brown is where you've got to do the Mara Esrog. So shochar olavon, black or white. Now white means white, like a shirt. That's foreign. You don't see black. It shouldn't be black on any fruit. Whereas brown is, it could go brown. The pithim is brown. It's called mara kosher. There's a shayla. There's too much of brown. There's a shayla as well. You've got an esrog like this. So you see this green patch. Yeah. So that's a patch of green. It's mara esrog. Some have issues even with that. Mara has a big chumrah. We don't really go with that. No, it should all be, well, the same color. Remember, so that's a chumrah. What's going to be? Spots with the different chumras in that. But that's a marakosha, marabosal. Marabosal is black and white. Marakosha is a whole different world, and it's chumras and marakosha, but it's not really soon again. So that is murkav and discoloration. Oh, wow, time flies. Number three is chosav. Anything missing. The slightest, minutest amount missing is a problem of chosav. Chosav is a lot more maneuvering room because, firstly, by the way, the most common place of chosav is the bottom because this is where they cut it. They're going through hundreds, thousands of esrogim, and a lot of times they just. So you've got to always check the bottom very carefully for chosav. If something's missing, it's very hard to tell something's missing. Often, very often, the Rav will tell you, Sofa chosav. So Sofa give us chosav. One worker told me that this Rav, everything's Sofa chosav. Yeah, there could be. There are a lot of things, there's quite a lot of surface. I was talking to a big time Chacham, a Rabbi Yisrael. He told me his Esrog takes 45 minutes to check the Chosav. 45 minutes in the Esrog. There's not so much surface space, but to check it properly, 45 minutes. Why? I don't think you have to do that. But what he's looking for Chosav. Chosav is the slightest. Now, Chosav is a lot more maneuvering room. Why is it more maneuvering room? Firstly, there's a Machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch brings Machlekes, some say it's possible, some say it's not. Until it's properly missing. A proper Geshmak and Viz. So, you've got Machlekes ready in Shulchan Aruch. A Suffolk, Chosav, you got something with a bit of a scratch, I don't know if it's missing, it's hard to say, a little dent. So you got a Suffolk in a Machloika, so you've already got a Sakseika. Then there's another thing, if it comes off the very edge of the Esrog, the skin, then the Machloika Shmur Chaznish, what's got in of the skin and what's got in of the actual Esrog. So if it's a slight graze, you've got a third Suffolk here. Is it penetrated the first layer according to Chaznish, or according to Bishabur, which is Machloika? So you've got three Sakers here. So again, you want to buy an Esrog because a kilo and there you hit the mitzvah, it's costing you. Someone, I made the cheshbon tonight, it's over £1,000 a kilo for these things. It's about the single most expensive entity you can buy in the open market. So you don't want to. If it comes to Yontif, I don't want to see Yontif. It fell on the floor and they had on the under the tables these things where you rest your leg. I think I got in the old shul, in the main shul, and it scraped past, a little graze. So I made all these cheshbon, it was chalamoy, it's not the rice anymore, and I have three svekas. So you make a brach on someone else's, whatever it is, you work out. But just to point out, the next thing you look for is if you have black dots, and now a chosa, nothing should be missing. And it's not always so easy to tell. I had someone show me an esrog last night, which was unbelievably gorgeous. I told him, esrog, if you don't take it, I'll take it. I say you convinced someone to buy it, by the way. And he went to the Rav, and then I showed him at the bottom with a magnifying glass, it was something brown. Checked magnifying glass, and it looked like a bit of juice. A little bit of juice, like dry juice. So I showed it to, so I said, take it, someone else. He took it to me, yeah, where did the juice come from? Didn't fall from heaven. That means I got a little poke. Once he got a poke, how much is missing? Again, being shy of chos. So the tears in his eyes, he returned the sofa chos to Esrog, and the person in the shop said, ah, no, it's fine, don't worry. Look, that's the game, that's how it goes. But that's the next thing you're looking for, chos. Finally, on the Esrog, the number four to watch out for is the pitum. So this is a very nice pitum. You can see a beautiful pitum. The pitum missing, there's a lot of different halachas about it. But the first thing to know is, like we said, people are not aware. You have a machlokas about a wooden pitum and a fleshy pitum. The old pitum looked like some four-leaf clove, this little piece of wood, the bump. That is, it's just wood. There's machlokas in them. Showing him what halachas he got. Some of it's missing, a bit of it's missing. This is worse. Because it's flesh, it's proper estrogen. Some don't go that, some say no, a pitum's a pitum. Pitum hasn't changed. Could be not. Again, soft. If a pitum's missing, so there's two parts, the dad, the stick, and the shishanta piece on top. The piece on top, the flower, it's like a school shishanta, it's like a rose, this big brown piece on top. If that's chipped or missing, it's not the best, there's caution. If the dad's missing, completely is a problem. Because a little bit above the surface of the estrogen, which often is the case, you put your hand over it and you'll feel something's a little bit sticking up. You're like, look like 1 millimeter sticking up. The monk of Rom's okay with it, which versus you can rely on it. So if a pitum falls off, it's not the end of the world. Pulls it up, pitum fell off, that's it, I'm done. You're not done, it's fine. Maybe ask someone to make a bracha on this, pieces and other shittas. But me'ika adin, is it fine? It's kosher, fiyantif. Clearly, you want to get one which is perfect. Okay, those are the main points of Esrog. Do we have time for Lulav? 1.5 minutes.
Is it hidden by Esrog with it? Pitum?
The mile of a pitum is you've got insurance. You know, if a pitum fell off, it's not good. The only way to know, I end up with a good story. Someone bought me a pitum, I asked you once, and I went to a Rav, Chosh Rav. Again, no one's an angel, yeah? We can't be jihadists and things. The Rav says it's fine. He's telling you to, he's only human. This is what I think from what I've seen. Sure, to a Rav, and I said, no, the pitum fell off on the tree. I could tell it fell off on the tree, it's not a problem. I looked in, it just did not sit well with me. No, couldn't be. I don't know what to do. Anyway, as it was one of these, I pulled out the stuffing and underneath was the pitum sitting at the bottom of the box. I'm not blaming the Rav. Again, he can't know. The way to know there is one simon that Mishra brings from the Mabit, and that is, if the top where the pitum's meant to be, a little bit of a crevice, and around it is a rim. You look at all the photos going around now of Lebanon, so it looks like you've got a hole. Yeah, a bit like this. A hole, and a little bit sticking up around. Especially if it's brown inside, it's dark, and then it's for sure, not for sure, it's come out for sure fell off on the tree. But if it looks anything white or is flat, very dodgy. Leave it for the next guy, you take one that hasn't got these issues, and you haven't got a problem. Okay?
Yeah. Very nice. Is that Moroccan?
That one's Moroccan. What do you think of this one?
Where's it from?
Clearly.
Humboldt.
No, not yet.
So it's strawberry, is it?
Yeah, so what's wrong with that one? That's a chazanish one.
Yeah, chazanishes are the worst Ashrogim besides the colour because they're so delicate.
I like that colour.
The bronze. Yeah. They're so delicate. Chazanishes are the delicate ones. They're very limited. What do you put on? They're meant to be the most mozart. Yeah? And they cost.
Ashrogim.
They're meant to be the most mozart. 1 second, Moshe, hold on. And the most and they're most expensive. But I'll say, you look at it. You use an Ashrogim, it's called clean, it's not Ashrogim. And if you think it's filthy, they just can't.
How do you spell it? Sroigim, how do you spell it?
So there's all this, it could be brown.
How do you spell it?
I'm not saying it's black. The best way to tell is in the sunlight. You have to go to a country that has sun and look at that.
I'm not going away in the sun.
Can you do it for me? Yeah. Just like this.